Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And of course, on Wednesday night, we've been working our way through the book of 2 Corinthians verse by verse. And we find ourselves here in chapter number 6. And as I've been telling you and teaching you as we've been moving through this book, there's a theme in the book of 2 Corinthians. And honestly, I've read the book of 2 Corinthians scores of times. But I hadn't really picked up on the theme until I started preaching verse by verse through it. And the theme has to do with ministry. And the Apostle Paul talks a lot about ministry, and we're going to see that come up again here in this passage. And if you look at verse number 4, if you remember, we dealt with verses 1 through 3 last week. We talked about service and salvation and social skills. And in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions and necessities, in distresses." And what the Apostle Paul does in the section we're going to enter into right now is a section that goes from verses 4 through 10. And in those verses, we find three different lists. There are three lists that the Apostle Paul gives us. The first list, if you're taking notes or if you like to write on the margin of your Bible, and I like to take notes on the margin of my Bible, maybe you can write these things down. In verses 4 and 5, we find the first list, and it is a list that explains the difficulty of ministry, the difficulty of ministry. And you'll notice that in these two verses, you find 10 different things that the Apostle Paul brings up, and they're all set apart. We know that this is a kind of a separate list because they're all set apart by this word "in." Notice there in verse 5, he says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God." He talked about the fact that we have to approve ourselves as ministers of God in all things. What are those things? He says, in much, number one, patience. Number two, in afflictions. Number three, in necessities. Number four, in distresses. Number five, in stripes. Number six, in imprisonments. Number seven, in tumults. Number eight, in labors. Number nine, in watchings. Number 10, in fasting. So you notice there's 10 things there, and they're kind of set apart by this word in patience, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, and so forth. In verses 6 and 7, we have another separate list. This is a list of 9 things, and these are the demands of the ministry, or what the ministry would require of you to go into ministry. And this list is separated or set apart by the word "by." Notice verse 6. He says, "By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." And then in verses 8, 9, and 10, we have the third list, and this is a list of the dichotomy of ministry. So in verses 4 and 5, we have the difficulty of ministry. Verses 6 and 7, we have the demands of ministry. Verses 8 through 10, we have the dichotomy of ministry. And of course, the word dichotomy is a reference to when two things that seem to be at odds with each other, but they both exist at the same time. And this set of lists has 9 things in it, and it is set apart not by the word "in" or by the word "by," but it is set apart by the contrasting words, the way that it's written. Notice verse 8, he says, "By honor and dishonor," number 1, "by evil report and good report," number 2, "as deceivers and yet true," number 3, "as unknown and yet well known," number 4, "as dying and behold we live," number 5, "as chastened not killed," number 6, "as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing," number 7, "as poor, yet making many rich," number 8, "as having nothing and yet possessing all things," number 7 there. So I want you to notice these lists. And what the Apostle Paul is explaining, if you go back to verse 4, he says, "But in all things are proving ourselves," he says, "approving ourselves as the ministers of God." He's explaining the fact that we approve ourselves as the ministers of God. How do we approve ourselves as the ministers of God? Is it by taking a vote? Is it by figuring out, you know, who has the most subscribers on YouTube? Is it by figuring out who has the biggest church? And I would, that's how most people would think that you would approve a minister of God. And by the way, God does not judge a church by its size. God judges a church by its sort, what sort of church it is, and its likeness to Christ. And the Apostle Paul here says, if you want to know how to approve or how to prove ourselves as ministers, he says you do that by doing and enduring the following list, these three lists that he gives us. It's a total of 28 things. Now, there was a time in my ministry, and I tend to even think this way now, where I'm hesitant to really kind of slow down and try to push through some of these things. But what I've come to realize is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. It's all good. And Paul gave us these three different lists for a reason. So I'm going to take my time walking through these with you tonight. To be honest with you, we're only going to make it through the first one tonight. It's got 10 different things, but it's 10 things that list for us the difficulty of ministry. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to maybe jot that down, the difficulty of ministry. We're going to begin with this idea. And let me just give you a little bit of a heads up. It's difficult, and don't take this the wrong way. I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, but the reason that the ministry is difficult is because in ministry, you are working with people. And working with people is hard. Working with people is difficult. Sometimes people ask me, what's the best thing about being a pastor? And I would answer without hesitation, it is dealing with people. And they'll ask me, what's the worst thing about being a pastor? And I would answer without hesitation, it is dealing with people. People bring problems. And you say, well, what if you don't have any people? That's a problem too. So the ministry can be difficult because we're working with people. Now, I don't know why God decided the Apostle Paul needed to spend most of the book of 2 Corinthians dealing with ministers and ministry. And I honestly didn't know that, and I hadn't really seen that when we started this book. But either way, I'm going to preach through it because my goal is to preach through the entire Bible. So God has us going through this book at this time for a reason, and I believe that maybe it's just to help me and my wife. I don't know. But I know this. You might say you're not in ministry, but that's not true. Every Christian ought to be in ministry. You may not be in full-time ministry. You may not be in ordained ministry, but you're in ministry. And the lessons we're going to learn tonight have to do with the difficulty of working with people. And whether you're an ordained minister or not, as a Christian, you ought to be working with people. It might just be your own family. It might be other fellow church members. It should be for all of us converts that we are reaching with the gospel and new believers we're trying to help grow. But let me give you these 10 thoughts tonight in regards to the difficulty of ministry, according to the Apostle Paul, and how we work through these and how we endure these, because this is how we approve ourselves as ministers of God. By the way, God has given all of us, just if you remember this from the context of chapter 5, God has given all of us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So in that sense, we're all ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice the first thing he points out there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, he says, in much, and then he gives us the first thing there, he says, in much patience. And if you're writing notes, you can jot this down. Working with people requires patience. Working with people requires patience. If you would go with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, you can find the T books that are all clustered together in the New Testament there, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, 2nd Timothy chapter number 4. And while you turn there, let me read to you the definition of the word patience. The word patience is defined as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Patience is the ability to deal with people even when they are causing you trouble, when they are causing you suffering, when they are causing you issues. Patience is the ability to work with those people, along those people, even when they're not where you would expect them or want them to be. Paul says, if you're going to work with people, if you're going to be in ministry, and by the way, we've got, Lord willing, we've got men that our church will eventually send out as pastors someday, and this sermon, or we've got guys listening online that are going to go into ministry, or other pastors listening that pastor of the churches, and this is a good lesson for them. When we work with people, we must develop patience. We must develop patience. 2 Timothy chapter 4, are you there? Look at verse 2. This is a very well-known passage. Most preachers know about this and think about this passage when it comes to the ministry and being called into the ministry. Of course, 1 and 2 Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul as he was training this young preacher, Timothy. The books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are referred to as the pastoral epistles. They are epistles written by Paul training pastors. And he says this in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He tells us as preachers that our job is to preach the word. And by the way, that's why at Verity Baptist Church, we've chosen to teach and preach in the way that we do. You don't get, I'll tell stories when they're appropriate, and I'll tell jokes when they're appropriate, but you honestly don't get that many jokes and that many stories as much as you get the word of God around here. Because my job as a preacher is to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That means whether it's popular or not, whether people want to hear it or not. Be instant means I should be ready to preach the word in season, out of season. When I do that, here's what that will look like. Reprove, that's a negative. Rebuke, that's a negative. Exhort, that's a positive. And by the way, all those three things should be happening, in my opinion, in every sermon. Every sermon you should be getting reproved a little bit. Every sermon you should be getting rebuked a little bit. Every sermon you should be getting exhorted a little bit. But I want you to notice what he says at the end there. He says, with all long-suffering and doctrine. With all long-suffering and doctrine. The word long-suffering is used synonymously with the word patience. And Paul here is telling us, look, as a preacher, my job is to preach the word and to be instant in season and out of season and to reprove and rebuke and exhort. But when I do that, I must do that with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says, make sure you're not just preaching, but you're also teaching doctrine and teaching what the Bible, what we ought to believe about the word of God. But I want you to notice, he says, do that with long-suffering. Because I'm here to tell you that if you're going to minister to people, whether it's your own children, whether it's your wife, if you're a man here and you're trying to maybe lead your wife, maybe she's not as spiritual as she should be, whether it's new converts, whether it's leading in some sort of ministry here at our church and you've got some people below you in that ministry, or whether it means going into ordained ministry as a pastor or as a deacon or as an evangelist, I'm here to tell you, when you work with people, you've got to have some patience. Because here's what we like to think as preachers. We like to think that everybody, I used to think this when I was a young preacher, and I tell this to young preachers, we like to think that we get up to preach here and, you know, everybody is just hanging off our every word. I mean, just everything we're saying, everybody's hearing it, understanding it clearly. What I've learned over 11 years of ministry is that I'm lucky if you get 50% of what I'm saying. And if you don't believe me, just check out our events. We'll announce some event for 6 weeks. So many people complain, they're like, you know, those bulletin announcements, they go kind of long. I'm thinking to myself, well, you don't hear them even, you know, you don't need shorter announcements. You know, we have a day of an event. Everybody's calling and texting, where was that? What time was that at? When was that? It's like, we've been announcing this for 6 weeks. We sent you a stinking text message. We like to think that everybody's hanging off our every word, and that's not true. Sometimes we as ministers deal with people, and sometimes we're surprised. Sometimes we look at a situation, and I think to myself, man, I thought you were more mature than this. I thought you were further along than this. Really? Yeah, we've already dealt with this. I've already preached that sermon. We've already had that discussion. We've already talked about these things. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to deal with people, if you're going to love people and encourage people, and sometimes that means reprove people and rebuke people and exhort people, you better get ready to do it with all long suffering. Because sometimes people just need time. Sometimes they just don't get it. Sometimes they just don't hear it. Sometimes they're just not ready to hear it. And Paul says, look, this is how you approve yourself as a minister. He says you do it in much, number one, patience. Now, keep your finger right there in 2 Timothy because we're going to come back there. And go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. I want you to notice the second word. He says, we must approve ourselves as ministers of God, he says, in much patience. But then he says, number two, in afflictions. In afflictions. The word affliction is defined as something that causes pain or suffering. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to work with people, working with people will bring affliction. Sometimes people will cause you much pain and suffering. Sometimes people will cause you stress. Sometimes people will cause you affliction. In fact, I want you to notice the Apostle Paul has already kind of teased this out a little bit earlier in this book. Because remember, this book has a theme about ministry. And if you go back just a couple of chapters to chapter number 2, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and look at verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says this. Notice what Paul says. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, he says, I should have sorrow. Notice what he says. He says, I wrote you in advance because when I didn't want, he said, I just didn't want to do this again, Paul says. He said, I didn't want to come to you with sorrow. The word sorrow means distress or grief. He said, lest when I come, I should have sorrow. Why would you have sorrow? Paul, notice, from them. Notice the source of his sorrow is individuals. It's people. From them of whom I ought to rejoice. Look, I'm here to tell you, you start investing in people. Sometimes you're going to think to yourself, man, I'm having sorrow from those that I should be rejoicing in. Raising kids will bring sorrow sometimes. Loving people will bring sorrow sometimes. Having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Notice verse 4, he says, for out of much affliction. The word affliction means being in a state of pain or misery. He says, and anguish. The word anguish means distress or suffering or pain. He says, and anguish. Notice the words. He says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you. Notice what he says. With many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love that I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused, notice what he says. He says, if any have caused grief. He's talking to the church at Corinth and he's saying, there's some of you that have caused me grief. He hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. He said, I have suffered. I have sorrow because of some of you. I have affliction because of some of you. I have anguish because of some of you. I have tears and I've been grieved because of some of you. And you say, this sounds very negative. Well, I'm here to tell you, notice what he says there at the end of verse 4, that ye might know the love that I have more abundantly unto you. See, the truth of the matter is this, that in ministry, in order to, in my opinion, and the type of ministry that my wife and I have tried to have over the last 11 years of ministry is this, that we are involved with our people, that we love you. But what I've learned is this, many pastors end up, and many pastors' wives end up disconnecting from their church people. These are the pastors and the pastors' wives that, they show up just for the church service. They leave right after the church service. They make sure you don't have their address or their phone number. They don't take your calls. They don't do counseling. They're disconnected. And you say, are you beating up on them? No, I'm not beating up on them. I understand why people do it. They've been hurt. Because you cannot love people without having those same people you love hurt you sometimes. So if you're going to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to require and learn some patience. And you're going to have to realize that afflictions is part of the game. Sometimes the people you love are the ones that bring anguish and tears and sorrow and disappointment. Sometimes the people you care about the most, that you've invested the most in, you spent the most time with, are the ones that end up stabbing you in the back. So working with people can sometimes bring afflictions. I want you to notice the third thing on the list there in verse 4. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, he says, in much. The word in much means it's not just a little bit of this. You need a lot of this in ministry. He says, in much patience. In much, he says, afflictions. Then he says this, number 3, in necessities. In necessities. The word necessities or necessity is defined as a thing that is wanted or required. Necessities are some things that are needed in ministry. If you would go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you're there in 2 Corinthians, just flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. When my wife and I started Verity Baptist Church, September of 2010, in our living room, we were, as you could imagine, new in ministry, like many church planters are. We didn't have a system like the systems that we've developed at our church, a satellite system where you work alongside under a pastor and with a pastor, and have that pastor, of course, with Fresno and Vancouver and Boise, and to have a system set up where you have a weekly phone call with the pastor and you talk about issues and problems and what's happening and how to deal with this and how to deal with that and how to handle this situation. And I'm not complaining to you. I'm just telling you, it's neither right or wrong. I think the satellite system is a very good system. We've had much success with it. But I'm just here to tell you, we didn't have that. We didn't have... We had friends and people in ministry, people that loved us, that we could have, of course, called at any time and asked advice. But we didn't just have somebody that we were kind of working under or working alongside with or somebody that could give us some advice. And some of these things we kind of had to learn on our own and honestly kind of learn the hard way. But I'll tell you this, when my wife and I went into ministry, I didn't know, and I'm not complaining, I hope you understand that, I didn't know the types of necessities that the ministry required. I knew that my job was to preach the word of God and to reach people with the gospel and to baptize and perform the ordinances like baptism and the Lord's Supper and to you know, help people grow in the Lord. And we understood that. But we didn't know when we started knocking doors and reaching people with the gospel and picking them up and bringing them to church, we didn't know that the ministry was going to require us to become event coordinators, financial accountants, legal experts, building contractors, wedding planners, financial advisors, maintenance men, fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and best friends and counselors and guides and psychiatrists and shrinks and wardens and referees and administrators. We didn't know that the ministry was going to require all those things. And I'm not complaining to you. I'm just telling you, in ministry, there are necessities. I remember talking to a pastor one day about this, and he said, yeah, it's crazy. People think that preaching is what we do in ministry, but what we actually do in ministry is all those other things so that we can get to preach to somebody. I'm just here to tell you, in ministry, when it comes to reaching people, loving people, and helping people grow, you've got to get this idea that this is what I do. I preach the word of God. You got to get that idea out of your head and realize that there are necessities. Sometimes people need a counselor. And sometimes they need a referee. And sometimes they need a guide. And sometimes they need a friend. Sometimes they just need somebody to talk to. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul kind of teases out this idea. And I want you to understand that I understand that this is in reference to the gospel and preaching the gospel. And I understand that, but it's the same principle that he talks about for reaching people with the gospel has to do with helping people grow after the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:20, he says that unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And the Apostle Paul refers here to necessities. And if you're going to be in ministry, if you're going to deal with people, you're going to have to learn to become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And once they're saved, help some, disciple some, grow some. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice the fourth thing he gives us on this list here. He talks about working with people, approving ourselves in the ministry, what the ministry is all about. I've talked to young men, they say, I want to get up and preach, but I don't want to have to talk to people. When don't go in ministry. I don't really care about people. Then the ministry's not for you. I just want to be famous on YouTube. And they don't say that, but that's what they mean. Paul says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, he says, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities. I want you to notice the fourth thing there. He says, in distresses. In distresses. The word distress means to cause someone anxiety, sorrow, or pain. The word distress means to bring stress, to produce stress. I remember the first time as a young man when I was in the Air Force and working a secular job, I never experienced this. My wife never experienced this. I remember the first night of now many nights that my wife and I stayed up and were not able to go to sleep because of the amount of burden that we had for certain people, for decisions we knew they were making, for directions we knew they were going. I remember the first time I can even imagine, I can tell you the name of the person I was concerned with. I remember telling my wife, I've never had this problem. I'm laying in bed and I can't go to sleep because my mind is just concerned with this. And over the years, there have been many nights, many sleepless nights for both my wife and I. Because working with people will cause distress. Sometimes people get upset with us and they get upset with me. Because when we see them going in a wrong direction, we try to warn them and admonish them. And I understand that maybe sometimes we don't do it in the right spirit and maybe don't do it in the right way, but I'm just here to tell you, you cannot give your life to people and watch them make decisions that are going to ruin their lives and not expect that to bring some stress upon you and distress upon you and some worry upon you. When you truly believe that God has given you the stewardship of this congregation. I want you to notice, fifthly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5. He gives us the fifth thing here. He says, in stripes. If you could go with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. You start at the end of the New Testament and go backwards. You have Revelation, Jude, 32nd and 1 John, 2nd and 1 Peter, James, and Hebrews. Revelation, Jude, 32nd and 1 John, 2nd and 1 Peter, James, and Hebrews. The fifth thing and the sixth thing, honestly, are not things that you and I have dealt with in the society you and I live in. As much as we like to complain about the United States of America, we do have some liberties here still. And he talks about stripes. The definition for the word stripes, or the archaic definition for the word stripes, is defined as a blow with a scourge or a lash. And this is referring to a beating. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this to people that had not yet been beaten for their faith. So this applies to you and I because we've gone through a lot. We've had a lot of persecutions around here, but none of us have yet been beaten for our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, the Bible says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now we've resisted and we've had blows, but none of us have ever shed blood for our faith. And here Paul says, look, working with people could result in stripes someday. And there are Christians all over the ages and even all over the world now that are being persecuted in a physical way, being beaten. Number six there, keep your finger right there in Hebrews. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Keep your finger there in Hebrews, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. Notice the sixth thing, in imprisonments. And again, we've not yet been thrown in prison for our faith. But I'm here to tell you, we could. Are you ready for that? Am I ready for that? If you would go back to Hebrews, I ask you to keep your place right there in Hebrews 12. If you go back to Hebrews 11, in verse 36, here in Hebrews 11, we're told of Christians that have been gone through many trials, and I'm not going to take the time to read the whole passage. I just want you to notice verse 36. It says, and others had trial of great mockings and scourgings. Those are the stripes, the beatings. Yea, moreover, of bonds. That's being imprisoned and imprisonment. Of course, we know the Apostle Paul spent time in prison. And I here's the thing. I'm here to tell you, I've never been thrown in prison for my faith, and I hope I never do. But if I do, and if you do, I hope that whatever the trials and persecutions and the things that we must deal with in this life as a result of our walk with God, I hope that instead of complaining in the prison cell, we'll sing hymns in the prison cell. Amen. We'll sing like Paul and Silas and rejoice together. So we see stripes and imprisonments. And I want you to notice seventh. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, then number 7, he says, in tumults. Tumults. Go to the book of Acts, if you would, Acts chapter 19. Towards the beginning of the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 19. He says, being in ministry and working with people may result in stripes. It may result in imprisonments. He says, and it may result in tumults. The word tumult is an older word. It's defined as a loud, confused noise, especially one caused by a large mass of people. I've never had stripes, not yet. Lord willing, I never do. And I've never been in prison. And Lord willing, I never do. But our church has had tumults. Let me show you a tumult in the Bible in Acts chapter 19 and verse 33. Here we have the Apostle Paul as a result of his preaching. The Bible says in verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, we are Orlando. No, they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. You know, it's funny to me that sometimes people attack our church. They come to our church. They like our church. They like the people at our church. They like the preaching of our church. They like everything about our church. And then they find out that we had a big protest in 2016. And they think, that's not New Testament Christianity. And as soon as somebody says that to me, I think to myself, you don't read the New Testament. Amen. Because if you read the Acts of the Apostles, if you read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, you would know that it is actually New Testament Christianity is not to walk into a town and have the mayor come into your services and speak, or the governor come into your services and speak, or have some politician like you and want your endorsement. No, New Testament Christianity was Paul showed up and protests broke out. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. The world hated him. You say, why? Because of what he preached. So why are all these preachers, none of them get in trouble? Because they don't preach anything worth getting in trouble over. But I'm here to tell you that if you actually practice New Testament Christianity, you may have some tumults. You may have loud, confused noises, especially one caused by large mass of people. You might have groups gather outside your church building. That's why, look, I'm not ashamed when our friends, Faith Forward Baptist Church or First Works Baptist Church or Steadfast Baptist Church or Sure Foundation or whatever church, they've got protests and they're in the news and they're, you know, people say, are you embarrassed by that? You know what? I look at that and I think to myself, that is New Testament Christianity. That is us living out the Acts of the Apostles. Paul says, if you're going to get in ministry, you're going to have stripes. You may have stripes. You may have imprisonment. He says, in much, he said, stripes, imprisonments, tumults. Then he says this. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5, notice the eighth thing. He says, In labors. The word labor is defined as work, especially hard. or hard work. I'm not sure if you kept your place in 2 Timothy. I meant to ask you to keep your place in 2 Timothy, but if you could, go back to 2 Timothy. Or if you kept your place in 2 Timothy, excuse me, from there, go to 1 Timothy. And if you didn't keep your place there, just find 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the T books are all clustered together. You know, the Bible calls the ministry, it refers to it as the work of the ministry. The ministry's work. You say, why do this? Why have this? Why have this church, Verity Baptist Church? And why deal with all the protests and the persecutions and the bad publicity? Why do all these things? For one reason, for the work of the ministry. Amen. The ministry is labor. We are to be a working people. And by the way, we are to be a working church. A church that works, a church that realizes that we are here. You say, what is the purpose of the church? The church is an assembly of called out believers that have assembled themselves and bent themselves under the authority of a pastor for the fulfillment of the Great Commission, and that's going to require work. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says this, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he better get good at golf. Is that what it says? Those are the jokes people make about pastors. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. The ministry's work. I don't know if you know this, and I hope you understand, I'm not complaining. Standing up and preaching the word of God requires work. Preaching 3 times a week requires work. Meeting with people requires work, and I'm not complaining, I'm happy to do it. I understand the necessities of the ministry. Counseling requires work. Taking phone calls requires work. I wish you knew how many phone calls my wife takes every day. How many conversations she has every day. From people within our church and without. And I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, the ministry is work. It's labor. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And let me tell you, young men out there who are saying you'd like to go in ministry, if you like the ministry, stop loving days off. Stop loving your hobbies. Stop loving your relaxed time. And I'm not against people having days off. I make sure our staff gets days off every day. But you know who doesn't get a day off? You say, Pastor, you complain. I'm not complaining to you. I make sure, my wife and I, you know, we make sure we get rest and we get time we need. But you say, why don't you take a day off? Because every time I try to take a day off, somebody dies or gets divorced or needs something. I'm just here to tell you that the ministry requires labor. Work. Where you realize that it's work. It's work. It's work dealing with people. It's work falling up on people. It's work with our staff guys. We've got all sorts of systems to try to track people and make sure we don't lose people and don't forget about people. And I often think to myself, you know, and I say this to them from time to time, it's not paperwork, it's people work. We're working with people. And sometimes when you have more people than you can remember all the time, then you have to write lists and purposely ask and consider and think, where was this person and where have they been for the last several weeks and what's going on in their lives and can we help in any way? It's labor. Working with people requires work. Paul says, look, you approve yourself in the ministry through work. I want you to notice number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5. He says, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. Number 9, he says, in watchings. In watchings. The word watching is defined as to remain awake for the purpose of a religious observance. I'd like you to go back to 1 Timothy, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I do believe that the Apostle Paul is probably referring to the fact that he's just had to stay up and have some watchings. Sometimes you just have a late night. Sometimes you just take that phone call in the middle of the night. Look, and I hope you understand my spirit, but I am trying to tell some of you guys that want to go in ministry. When you're in ministry, you don't have the privilege of not answering your phone. You don't have the privilege of turning it off. You take the call in the middle of the night. You go there when they need you. You're there for them. Sometimes the ministry requires watchings, remaining awake, staying up, being there when they need you. But I think there's also a spiritual application here, because there's not only the physical watching of staying up sometimes and talking to people and helping people and dealing with people and going to their house and trying to be there when they need you, but also there's the spiritual application of actually watching. Watching. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says this: a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Notice this word, vigilant. Sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. The word vigilant means you're watching. And by the way, sometimes this is what brings the distress. This is what brings the affliction. This is what brings the stress, is that you are watching. I've had people say, "Pastor, I need to meet with you." I said, "Sure." This has happened multiple times. They say, "I don't know if you're aware of a situation, but I need to tell you about," and they start telling me something and I finish their sentence. "You're talking about X, Y, and Z." And they're like, "Yeah, how do you know?" I'm watching. It's my job to watch. It's my wife's job to watch. We're vigilant. We're paying attention. Sometimes there's nothing we can do but pray. But let me tell you something. You say, "Well, none of this applies to me. I'm not in ministry." Do you have kids? You better be watching. Amen. You, if you're going to work with people, you need to watch. Watchings. Be vigilant. Paying attention. The ministry and working with people sometimes requires watchings. Let me give you the last one. Last one in this list. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 5. He says, "In stripes and imprisonment and tumult and labors and watchings." Number 10, in fastings. In fastings. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. The word fast or fasting is defined as abstain from all or some kind of food or drink, especially as a religious observance. The Bible says that as New Testament Christians, we should fast. Unfortunately, and don't take this the wrong way, I'm just telling you the truth, the vast majority of New Testament Christians don't fast and have never fasted. Now, please understand this. If you've got some sort of medical reasons why you can't fast, I'm not talking about you, okay? And if you're expecting, you're pregnant, or you're nursing, I'm not talking about you. And I understand sometimes people have medical reasons why they can't fast and those things, and I get that. But the Apostle Paul said that sometimes the ministry and working with people will drive you to fast. Mark chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says this: "And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." He's being asked, "Why do your disciples not fast?" And he's saying, "Well, I'm here. The bridegroom is here. So if the bridegroom's here, why would they fast?" Verse 20, "But the days will come," and I'm here to tell you the days are here, "when the bridegroom shall be taken away," this is referring to Jesus, "from them, and then shall they fast in those days." Sometimes, look, and I don't know if you can understand it, and I don't know if I have the ability to explain it, and I have the ability to help you get it, but sometimes when you invest yourself in people and you work with people and you decide, "I love these people and I'm here for these people," and you watch them make bad decisions or you watch things happen in their life, maybe it has nothing to do with them, and sometimes you feel so helpless that all you can do is be driven to fast. There are people in situations, even now, that my wife and I have set aside times of extended prayer and fasting. And if you've never been there, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just telling you, maybe you need to invest yourself a little more in people. Amen. Because the ministry and the care of others will require much patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. You'll do it in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings. You say, why would you do that? Because you love people. Because you want to help people. Because you want to see people grow and fulfill their biblical purpose in their lives. But just know that when you decide to go down that road, when you decide to make life not necessarily just about you and you start investing yourself in others, you're going to need patience. Why would I need patience? Because sometimes there's going to be afflictions. Because you're going to realize there's a lot more necessities and a lot more roles that you got to play than the ones that you thought you had to play. Because sometimes people bring stress and distress. Because sometimes things blow up and there's tumults. And there's always labor, and sometimes you go have sleepless nights with watchings. And sometimes the only thing you know to do is to get on your knees and pray and fast. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I don't know if it helps anybody here, but I know it helped me. Help us all. Help us all to get invested in others. I realize not everybody's a pastor. I get that. Not everybody's an ordained ministry. But we can all love somebody, pray for somebody, be concerned with somebody. Thank you for the Apostle Paul taking the time to write these lists for us and saying, look, in the ministry, you're going to need these things. Maybe there's some young preacher listening online. You just need to hear these things. I pray you'd bless them and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.